Don't you know we're talking about a revolution? Sounds
it was more than talk about a revolution a century ago here in America that helped sustain the momentum of the movement that led to the independence of Ireland from Britain. Irish Americans kept the flames going, even though on Easter Monday 1916, when a small band of Irish nationalists seized control of key locations in Dublin and declared the right of the people of Ireland to the ownership of Ireland, they were brutally suppressed by the British Army within a week. Thousands were imprisoned, and all seven signatories of the proclamation, as well as 11 other rebel leaders, were executed by firing squad. But five of the seven signatories were well known in the Irish enclaves of New York City, Hell's Kitchen, and Brooklyn, and their deaths germinated a movement.
The centrality of Irish America, and Irish New York in particular, I suppose, the centrality of that to the rising is now absolutely established. No New York, no Irish America, no rising. Simple as that.
Professor Jolie teaches Irish studies at New York University. He's the director of NYU's Glucksman Ireland House. And according to Lee, more important than Irish New York money, guns, and militant ideology was the very American notion that a free Ireland was a right granted by God, just like in the U.S. Declaration of Independence.
Virtually all the visitors from Ireland, including the rebels, the prominent rebels of 1916, could feel themselves in a freer atmosphere, frankly. And in a more supportive atmosphere. Because remember, at home in Ireland, the bulk of public opinion didn't think there was the slightest chance of a fight for freedom, shall we say. The idea that you could challenge Britain, you know, one of the world's greatest powers, was just crazy as far as they were concerned. Irish America had no inhibitions about that because I think they shared the American view that nothing Americans can't do.
John Cotter is a second and third generation Irish American New Yorker whose father was a beat cop in Manhattan and grandfather the proprietor of a small Irish pub on West 42nd Street. When asked about the importance of the centenary, he was unequivocal.
We feel here in New York, as the Irish are very proud in Ireland and Irishmen all over the world, that this is a very exciting, you know, celebration coming up next month, because this is who we are as Irish. We achieved the dream of a free Ireland.
The U.S. has been trying to export its revolutionary spirit from the moment the British withdrew from the Revolutionary War. But it hasn't always been a very successful mission. Even in the Easter Rising, the message is complex. Given the violence, Colm Tobin, the critically acclaimed Irish author, and Irene and Sidney B. Silverman, professor of the humanities at Columbia University here in New York, says it's a cautious lesson of cross-ocean solidarity.
The project in Ireland, I suppose over the last year as we've been preparing for this, is to complicate the narrative so that words like proud are not words that come easily. Really, the general way is to try and understand what happened and how it happened and to get a sense or an understanding of it. But I don't use words like proud about anything. Even. I'm not sure about proud. It's the word I'm not sure about.
Tobin is sure that his grandfather Patrick fought and endured a month-long imprisonment in Wales for his enthusiastic participation in the events of April 1916. Tobin's aunt Kathleen, who lived to be 98, remembered the morning her father left to join the Fenians in Dublin and shared the memory with Colm as a young child.
The story also of him going in the morning, the week of the Rising, into the boys' bedroom where my father and my uncles were sleeping, and digging up the floorboard of the bedroom. Just imagine this. The boys watching from the bed, what he was doing. He was finding his rifle. And he disappeared then. And when there was a surrender, he came home. And then a day later, he was dragged out of the house.
What stands out to a poet and novelist looking back on his childhood in those days is the chaos which inspired an uprising and even a crime wave that Tobin can smile about.
Oh, the looters, the poor people of the tenements realized there was a golden opportunity to go down, smash windows and take things home, including fur coats. And they're part of my 1916 as much as any group of rebels.
You might say that's the Irish people all over. They treat a joke as a serious thing and a serious thing as a joke, in the words of Sean O'Casey. Next month's conferences at NYU are specifically on Irish America's role in the Rising, a somber look at a moment when the uncertain feeling about a home left behind became a clear mission by the Irish in America to make a mark across the sea. James Keenahan is the proprietor of Kitty Kiernan's Pub in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, and for him, the feeling is stronger than ever.
I've been here 30 years, and when I came to this country, I think 280,000 Irish people came around the same time. And each one of us seems to get a great welcome from the Americans, especially in New York. I don't know, maybe they feel connected to us or we're connected to them, as most of them are probably our ancestors anyway. But it's amazing that they always, always welcome us. And they never seem to get tired of welcoming us, which is a great thing as well, you know.
So what does it really mean to be Irish or Irish-American even? Do you have to read Yeats and suffer through Finnegan's Wake? Do you have to be a baptized and practicing Catholic? Even the signatories of the proclamation weren't uniformly Irish. Tom Clark was born in a British Army barracks on the Isle of Wight. James Connolly from an Irish tenement in Edinburgh. Kathy Burke Lord, an Irish-American who grew up in Bay Ridge, says that feeling of freedom's embrace sheltering the old country from far away is still strong. She felt it when she set foot on Irish soil for the very first time last month.
I just felt right at home, right from the beginning.
Irish requires no translation to the Irish.
The sense of humor. They just seem to have a very quick wit, just very hospitable, and things I grew up with. And maybe that's what made me feel so at home or so comfortable there, is just almost like, you know, like my people, if that doesn't sound too corny.
I have a life halfway across the sea.
Your life here could be just as good.
If you go back, I have nobody.
I want you to stay here with me.
100 years ago, the Irish Americans cast a spell of freedom on their brothers and sisters across the ocean. Just like in last year's romantic movie Brooklyn, based on Colm Tobin's book about the U.S.-Irish connection, that magic is still strong today in the hearts of lovers and in the memories of people who understand the political significance of a moment 100 years ago called the Easter Rising.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.